And welcome back to Earth First Radio. This is Uncle Dennis, and stay tuned for more news. Let's get back into animal news. Talk about Victoria, British Columbia. Two pilot plans designed to restore threatened grizzly bear populations in high-priority areas of southern British Columbia have been announced by the Environment, Lands, and Park Minister, Joan Zawicki. The plans will address habitat protection, access management, reduction of bear-human conflicts, protected areas management, improving public information and education, and research and monitoring populations of grizzly bears. The plans will also provide guidance for decisions made through existing land use planning processes. And the first two of nine areas to be targeted for bear restoration are the North Cascades in the Manning Park area and the Kettle Granbury area in the Grand Forks. Grizzly populations in these two areas next to the U.S. border are threatened. Both areas adjoin parts of British Columbia where animals have already ceased to exist, Zawicki said last Thursday. The most advanced recovery plan to date is the North Cascades Project, with a draft plan expected to be completed by the end of 1999. Work is to begin on the Kettle Granby pilot plan at the start of the new millennium. By some estimates, there are 50 grizzly bears left in the Granby area, but just a few in the North Cascades. So that's good news. Some of the measures that they're going to use to promote the survival of grizzly bear populations include tighter hunting regulations, including limited entry hunting and guide outfitter quotas, a surcharge on bear hunting license fees, which goes to the Habitat Conservation Trust Fund for grizzly bear management projects, increased grizzly bear population research, the Be Bear Aware program, and bear proofing of landfills to reduce bear-human conflicts and the number of bears destroyed over the long term. Support for the GrizzEd program, funded by the Vancouver Grizzlies basketball team, and protection for grizzly bear habitat under the Identified Wildlife Management Strategy, an important component of the Forest Practices Code. And sounds like good things for grizzly bears up in British Columbia if they can pull it off. They got seven more plans to put together. And in other bear news, Senator Mitch McConnell and Congressman John Porter have reintroduced legislation making it illegal to import into or export from the United States bear viscera, including gallbladders and bile, and products containing or labeled or advertised as containing bear viscera. That's bear guts. The Bear Protection Act also makes it illegal to sell, barter, offer to sell, or barter, purchase, possess, transport, deliver, or receive in interstate or foreign commerce any bear viscera or product containing, labeled, or advertised as containing bear viscera. Passage of the Bear Protection Act would help ensure the U.S. does not contribute to the disastrous trade in bear parts. It would protect America's bears by preventing exploitation and population decimation by greedy poachers supplying the ruinous demand for high-priced bear parts. It would also help state game officials maintain viable bear populations in their states by facilitating enforcement of existing laws and closing loopholes created by the current patchwork of state laws. What can you do? Please urge your senators to co-sponsor Senator McConnell's bill S-1109. That's S-1109. Introduced with an amazing bipartisan list of 40 original co-sponsors, and urge your congressional representative to co-sponsor H.R. 2166, also introduced with 50 original co-sponsors. If you need to know a number, call 202-955-3668. That's 202-955-3668, and they'll hear. Or you could get on the web to www.hsus.org. That's www.hsus.org, and use the search button for your local senator or representative. In a July 27th editorial, the Santa Fe New Mexican called on the State Game Commission to reconsider its decision to step up state-sponsored cougar kills. The Game Commission claims mountain lions are wreaking havoc with New Mexico's desert bighorn sheep and unanimously decided to kill more of the big cats. Hunting outfitters want a bigger population of wild bighorn sheep for their clients, so, quote, with eyes averted from the bigger environmental picture, the commission decreed death to the cats. The New Mexican decried the decision as hasty and ill-informed. Quote, given the habitat, livestock, and poaching issues raised by the animal protection leaders, it sounds as if the commissioners haven't thought through this thumbs down on mountain lions. Additionally, the newspaper argues that habitat loss may be even more of a factor for sheep than for cougars. Instead of mountain grasslands offering a bit of open space, the sheep now find themselves among trees and rocks where they are more susceptible to predation. And what does a legislator do if a pet project is held up because of an endangered species? Simple. Take the species off the endangered species list. Recently, two legislators in Illinois tried to do just that. And this is an article by John Sanders, Green Midwest Regional Organizers. Representative Larry Woolard wanted to expand croplands in southern Illinois, and building a dam on Sugar Creek near the city of Marion was the first step in the process. The problem is that the dam would destroy the natural habitat of the least brook lamprey and the Indiana crayfish, two state-listed endangered species. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources publicly opposed the dam, and the court case is pending in the Illinois Supreme Court to protect the endangered species. A second legislator, Representative Kurt Granberg, hoped to loosen up development restriction on the shores of Carlisle Lake and ran into a similar situation. The lakeshore is a critical habitat for the eastern Massasauga rattlesnake, also an endangered species. The 3 to 4 foot snake has seen its habitat shrunk as development has reached into central and southern Illinois. Under the Illinois Endangered Species Protection Act, both the dam and the lakefront development would violate the act. In order to circumvent the law, Representatives Woolard and Granberg came up with a solution. They introduced HB 2243, legislation that would take the three species off the endangered species list without scientific study or evidence of recovery. Oh boy. Well, if you can't have your way, just bully your way on through, huh? All right. The federal government scientists have found that between 1975 and 1985, the number of salmon that returned to rivers where they were born decreased when the amount of a pesticide called M-Matasil 1.8D was sprayed on their birthplace increased. Darn. You spray the pesticide, you lose the fish. I don't know what's going on here. You know, things like this happen. Anyway, this is one of the most predictable things that we found in salmon, according to Scott Brown, a fish endocrinologist with Environmental Canada. The theory is that 4-nonylphenol acts as a gender bender that mimics the effect of estrogen and interferes with the salmon's ability to cope with the change from fresh to salt water, said Fred Wariski, a fisheries scientist with the Atlantic Salmon Foundation. There is 4-nonylphenol in a lot of other sprays, said Brown. It's also found in some soaps and toothpaste, said Terry McIntyre, president of the Nova Scotia Salmon Association. If they're right in this 4-nonylphenol is having that impact, holy dirty boy, we've got a problem, said McIntyre. Some scientists consider the issue to be a sleeper bomb that could have major environmental impacts on many other species, said Wariski, who said it has been compared to the global warming or acid rain. Oh, man. Let's move into state news now. On Tuesday, August 3rd, the United States Forest Service in North Carolina announced it was temporarily shutting down logging operations in four counties that make up the bulk of the Nantahala National Forest in western North Carolina. The four counties are Macon, Graham, Swain, and Cherokee County. A Forest Service bat specialist discovered 28 Indiana bats last week in one tree. The agency will have to work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to determine ways to protect the bat before the Forest Service continues with logging as is required by the Endangered Species Act. The presence of this imperiled bat in the Nantahala National Forest should serve as a wake-up call to the Forest Service that public forests provide critical reserves for endangered species, said Andrew George, executive director of the Southern Appalachian Biodiversity Project. We hope logging in public forests will end before other North Carolina treasures are forced to the brink of extinction or lost forever. And if you'd like more information, you can contact Southern Appalachian Biodiversity Project at 828-258-2667. That's 828-258-2667. Excuse me there, I'm just clearing my throat. And the Forest Service has proposed to increase the amount of logging in a controversial timber sale in the Beaver Park Roadless area of South Dakota's Black Hills National Forest. Biodiversity Associates said that citizen protest over the past year included letters and possible legal action resulting in the postponement of the Veteran Boulder timber sale. However, the Forest Service recently proposed expanding the sale and is now taking public comment. Biodiversity Associates is calling upon activists to, quote, ramp up the pressure and push extra hard for complete protection of the Beaver Roadless Area, the last forested roadless area in South Dakota. The Veteran Boulder timber sale in the Beaver Park roadless area is a clear example of why administration needs to develop a policy that protects all roadless areas from road building, logging, and other destructive practices. Just 0.8% of the Black Hills National Forest is currently protected as wilderness, and this timber sale would render the only remaining roadless area ineligible for wilderness designation. Please contact J. Thomas Millard of the Black Hills National Forest by Monday, August 2nd. Hey, we missed that one, but go ahead and call him anyway. Here's his phone number, 605-642-4622, 605-642-4622. Too many sixes and fours and twos in that one. If you want more information, you can also contact Jeff Kessler of the Biodiversity Associates. His number, 307-742-7978, 307-742-7978, or send email to J. Kessler, J-K-E-S-S-L-E-R, at igc.org. And this is why people should send me announcements at least 3 weeks in advance, folks. This is the very reason, you know. I should have read that one at least a couple of weeks ago, okay? But anyway, give them a call anyway. The National Forest Protection Alliance and the Forest Conservation Council announced a couple of weeks ago now that they are appealing two large logging projects planned in the Tongass National Forest of Alaska. The groups are challenging the U.S. Forest Service sea level timber sale on the Revilla Island and the Channel Hoya timber sale on the Bradfield Canal, according to a press release from the National Forest Protection Alliance office in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The appeals were filed on, quote, the grounds that the timber sales will destroy uses of the forest that are far more valuable than logging. According to the press release, the two sales propose logging of 65 million board feet, about 13,000 truckloads, from 2,500 acres of forest, according to the release. Before choosing to log any particular tract of national forest, the Forest Service has a statutory obligation to demonstrate that logging is the highest and best use from a socioeconomic perspective, said John Talberth, the Alliance's executive director. Clearly, the areas proposed for logging do not meet this test. And in 1994, when push came to shove, the Clinton administration didn't have the courage to stop clear-cutting our old growth, yet they also realized they couldn't get away with driving hundreds of old-growth species toward extinction. So they picked some species that scientists were most concerned about, and they promised to look at these species and protect before doing timber sales and protect the habitat where the species were found. The theory goes as if these whole rare old-growth species are discovered in the path of proposed logging, harvest plans can be adjusted to avoid the occupied habitat areas. If enough of these small habitat areas are protected, then the species decline may be halted. But unfortunately, the agencies are not doing their surveys. Oh, man. News. And let's go to Washington. Interior Secretary, this is Washington State, Bruce Babbitt has asked Senator Slade Gordon of Washington to offer an amendment to the Interior Appropriations Bill that's being considered this week that would cut funding for critical habitat of endangered species to only $1 million, completely gutting the program, reports the Grassroots Environmental Effectiveness Network. Earlier this year, Secretary Babbitt made an unsuccessful attempt to gut the critical habitat by working with Senator Domenici to attach a rider to the Kosovo Appropriations Bill. The Senate is expected to begin consideration of the Interior Appropriations Bill. Well, actually, they did it today. The Clinton administration must be held accountable for failing to enforce the Endangered Species Act and undermining the critical habitat designations. Please contact the White House and anybody else to oppose the expected Gorton Amendment for reducing funding for critical habitat. Contact George Frampton, director of the White House's Council on Environmental Quality. The phone number, 202-456-6224. That's 202-456-6224 for George Frampton. Or if you want further information, contact Roger Featherstone. He's the Grassroots Environmental Effectiveness Network administrator. His number, 505-255-5966. That's 505-255-5966, extension 102. Or you can send email to rfeather@defenders.org. That's rfeather, all one word, @defenders.org. And comments are needed to halt the roadless timber sale. The smooth juniper timber sale in Washington State's Gifford Pinchot National Forest would enter three roadless areas, Blue Lake, Dark Divide, and the Hamilton Buttes. In addition, the sale would degrade the habitat of four pairs of mating northern spotted owls. Please send your letter or email with comments by August 20th to Harry Cody, Randall Ranger District, Gifford Pinchot National Forest, 10024 U.S. Highway 12 in Randall, Washington, 98377. Once again, that address for your comments opposing the smooth juniper timber sale that would enter three roadless areas to Harry Cody, C-O-D-Y, Randall Ranger District, Gifford Pinchot National Forest, 10024 U.S. Highway 12, Randall, Washington, 98377. His fax number is 360-497-1102. That's 360-497-1102. Or you can send email through the Gifford Pinchot National Forest webpage. And I don't happen to have that, but on Thursday, July 29th, in Randall, Washington, locals and environmentalists packed the town fire hall to discuss the threats posed by the I-90 land exchange. The Gifford Pinchot Task Force sponsored the meeting in order to create a safe place for the community to share diverse opinions on the swap. Over 150 loggers, mill workers, and local business owners and their families joined direct action activists, other environmentalists, and representatives of the Tadnapam Native families in that forum. The historic nature of the meeting was obvious to all present. At one point, a member of the audience called out for a vote. A tree sitter on the panel was speaking at the time and asked those who wanted to keep the mountain from the company to raise their hands. All the hands in the hall went up except for one, and that man later admitted he being to an employee of Plum Creek. Even Harry Cody, the local Forest Service District Ranger, sheepishly raised his hand with vocal encouragement from the crowd. When those hands went up, the local community stood together in saying enough to destruction of community resources by corporations. But notably absent from the meeting were representatives from Plum Creek Timber. The only empty seat in the house was the one reserved for Plum Creek, said Tim Ream of the Cascadia Defense Network. Several participants also expressed outrage that Senators Slade Gorton and Patty Murray sent no representatives to the meeting, unlike U.S. Representative Brian Baird and State Representative DeBolt. Residents vowed to bring their message to each of the absentees. Unfortunately, if the trade goes through as currently planned, Plum Creek Timber would obtain two controversial areas within the Gifford Pinchot National Forest, Fossil Creek near the town of Cougar and Watch Mountain directly behind the town of Randall. Many people at the Randall Forum expressed concern about landslides and cited examples of slides originating in Plum Creek clearcuts near town. One resident brought videotape of people evacuating a home as it was being inundated by logging-induced floodwaters. Plum Creek never compensated me 1 cent, said Elmer Day, a longtime resident of the area. Of course not. That's not what logging companies do, right? Here's a plea from Oregon. Please help your neighbors in Yonkala by sending Roseburg BLM comments on the pipeline timber sale. Yonkala is located 30 miles south of Eugene, Oregon. The BLM is now taking public comments on the pipeline timber sale west of Yonkala, or Yonkala, Y-O-N-C-A-L-L-A, whatever way you want to say it. They propose to log 7.5 million board feet from 219 acres in scattered parcels, mostly in the backyards of rural Yonkala area residents. According to the BLM documentation, this is prime habitat for raptors, hawks, and eagles because of old-growth forests being in close proximity to the valley bottom ranches. But since the law doesn't require to preserve the prime habitat, the BLM will go ahead and clear-cut them anyway. People living just below these proposed clear-cuts will be affected even more when the loss of their public forests and wildlife. Many of them depend on their drinking and stock water from the supply that is held in the forests above. In fact, the water from these forests flows into Billy Creek, a community water system that supplies over 1,200 people with drinking water. Clear-cutting a watershed supplying public drinking water will degrade the water supply by peak flow increases. This means the water will flow off the denuded mountains faster than normal when it rains and less than normal when it doesn't rain. And, oh, man, this goes on and on, but here's the address for writing the BLM. By the way, the pipeline timber sale is EA number, you got to write this down, OR-104-98-10. That's OR-104-98-10. 2015-10, and your comments need to be in by August 18th. The address, BLM, Roseburg District, attention William O. Sullivan, 777 Northwest Garden Valley Boulevard, Roseburg, Oregon, 97470. Once again, that address for your comments on the pipeline timber sale, EA number OR10498-10, is BLM, Roseburg District, attention William O. Sullivan, 777 Northwest Garden Valley Boulevard, Roseburg, Oregon, 97470. And Uncle Dennis has been on Garden Valley Boulevard in Roseburg, Oregon, so I know where you're sending it to. If you'd rather send email, your email address is or100mb@or.blm.gov. Once again, that's or100mb@or.blm.gov. And please include your postal address so the BLM can send you back the results of your comments. In a letter to President Clinton dated August 3rd, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon asked the president to direct his administration to work with interested Oregonians and the Oregonian congressional delegation to secure additional protection for some extraordinary lands. These areas include the Steens Mountain, Soda Mountain, the Badlands near Bend, and the Rough and Ready Creek, Bull Run, and the Little Sandy Watershed. These are all in Oregon, I presume. The Rough and Ready Creek is threatened by the proposed Nicor Mine. The Soda Mountain area is part of the Soda Mountain Wilderness Study Area. It is an ecological crossroads between the Cascade and the Siskiyous. And for more information about Soda Mountain, contact Dave Willis at sodamountain@mind.net. And Senator Wyden's address, excuse me, is Senator Ron Wyden, U.S. Senate, Washington, D.C., 20510. And tell him that you support his call for protection for Steens Mountain, Soda Mountain, the Badlands near Bend, Rough and Ready Creek, and Bull Run, Little Sandy Watershed. Some great places to protect in Oregon. And, lawless logging strikes again in spite of pending litigation which may block implementation of the Deer Mom timber sale. The Medford District Bureau of the Bureau of Land Management has approved a plan of logging operations and cutting is scheduled to begin immediately. Several environmental groups have filed suit against the BLM and Forest Service, charging that the survey and manage provision of the Northwest Forest Plan has not been followed on numerous timber sales, including the Deer Mom timber sale. That's DEERMOM. Negotiations have been going on for 18 months. If you want further information, contact the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Coalition at 541-846-9273. 541-846-9273. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. That's it for the news on tonight's, or today's, or whenever you listen to it, version of Earth First Radio. To get news announcements or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. Or send your letters, donations, CDs, or cassettes to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. Uncle Dennis absolutely has to have them. Otherwise, we give you announcements about comment periods that have already expired. Earth First Radio is broadcast live from Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday at 8 p.m. Or if you're out of town, you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. That is the number 4, and there is the number 4. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. If you found us on the web, ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off his CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again. We're going to listen to some Peg Millett off the Keep It Wild CD.
He looked a whole lot like Jesus. like the Lord. Long hair on his head, his neck it was red, and he was driving an old beat-up Ford. Well, his tailgate was covered with stickers: love your mother and blow up a dam. Make love, not war. Don't drill oil offshore and get livestock off our public lands. He was smoking a Humboldt Hooter. Oh, Lord, it tasted divine. So I asked him what gives. He just said, hey, Duke lives. And Aunt Abby was a good friend of mine. And he looked a whole lot like Jesus. He looked just like the Lord. Long hair on his head, his neck it was red, and he was driving an old beat-up Ford. Well, he had a green fist on his t-shirt, a monkey wrench pierced in his ear. He spoke of the trees and he cursed corporate sleaze while he guzzled a six-pack of beer. As we entered the National Forest, I wondered what we's gonna do. He said, I'm a-goin' monkey wrenchin' at the Round River Rendezvous. And I remember that night by the campfire light, Judy Berry was a-fiddlin' so fine. When he mumbled to me, let's go spike a tree and cut down some. But he looked a whole lot like Jesus. He looked just like the Lord. Long hair on his head, his neck it was red, and he was driving an old beat-up Ford. So now I'm sitting in prison, a jumpsuit and flip-flops I wear. I'll be out with good time by 2009. I hope there still be some old growth back there. And the fella who looked just like Jesus, he sure ain't a sharing myself. 'Cause he was a spy for the FBI, and they busted Dave Mormon as well. And I remember that night by the campfire light, Judy Berry was a fiddling so fine. When he mumbled to me, let's go spike a tree and cut down some power lines. But he looked